Take your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. A season to rejoice. A season to rejoice. Luke 2, let's begin with verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Lord, I do pray that you would open your word to us and help us to recognize the great opportunity to rejoice in what you have done for us. And Lord, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. A season to rejoice. A season to rejoice. In Micah chapter 5, there was a prophecy some 700 years 700 years before Jesus came, 700 years, God prophesied through Micah in chapter 5 and verse 2. And notice what it says, But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah. Remember, what was the name of the town? Bethlehem. And thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little, it was a small town, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, which is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The prophet Micah, 700 years before Jesus came, prophesied that in Bethlehem, God would bring a child that would be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth would have been from of old, from everlasting. That is amazing. This is no ordinary child that is prophesied to come. This is a child who is like none other. His goings forth, his history, would have not just been from his about his birth, but his goings forth would have been from of old, from everlasting. Amazing. A season to rejoice. First of all, here this morning, we got three main points. We can rejoice in his person. Who is that? Now again, this is just an artist's drawing. This isn't a real photograph of that baby Jesus, but it's just an artist's rendition to help us to visualize it a little bit. But you know what? Who is he? We can, number one, this morning, rejoice in his person. In his person. Who is this person? Who is this person? God. Yes, that's my first point. He is the eternal God. There's the eternal God. Born in a stable. That's a barn. That's a place where the cattle slept, where the innkeeper would maybe keep his horses. And Jesus, God, was born there. Now, remember, he's eternal. His goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. When he came into that manger, when he came out of his mother's womb, that was the beginning of him being a man. Being a man. We can rejoice in his person. He is the eternal God. He's the eternal God. But also he is the creator and sustainer of the world. Colossians 1 verse 17 tells us that Jesus is before all things. And by him, all things consist. Jesus is the creator. Even before Jesus was born in the manger, he created the world. He created the world. The star that was in the sky that night, the night he was born, the star that was in the sky over Bethlehem. You know what? He made that star. Jesus made that star. He made all of the other stars. Jesus is the creator of the world. Before Jesus was in the manger, he created all things. And the Bible says he sustains all things. For by him were all things made that was made, the Bible says in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, without Jesus, was not anything made that was made. He's the creator. Jesus is not only the eternal God, that's why we can rejoice in his person. He's the eternal God. He's the creator and sustainer of all things. But God is also love. Love. He's a loving person. He's a loving person. God the Father is loving. And Jesus in the Trinity, in the Godhead, Jesus is not only a God of love, he is love. The Bible says in 1 John 4, verse 8 and verse 16, it says, God is love. God is love. You see, God is the source. God is the source. It's not just that God is loving. God is the origin of love. From Him flows love, true love. He is the source. In fact, the Bible goes on to say that if we don't know God, we can't love. Because God is love. He is the source of love. Everything else is counterfeit. He is love. We also understand who He is. He's not only God, the Creator. He's not only love, but He is holy, holy, sinless, perfect, absolutely pure. He is holy. Here's how the Apostle John described it in 1 John 1, verse 5. He says, "This then is the message that we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." God is light. You see, Jesus is sinless. He is perfect like no one else. We can rejoice in who He is. You know what? This person came to us. And that's another special feature that we can note. God is personable. He's personable. He came to us, and He invites us to have fellowship with Him. You know what? God not only loves us, but God has reached out to us. One of the greatest ways God has demonstrated that He is personable, is that He came to us. He came to us when we could not get to where He was. Emmanuel came to us. Do you remember what the name Emmanuel means? God with us. Emmanuel. Say that with me. Emmanuel, God with us. Wow. God came to us. You see, there's God. He came. There's a picture, of course. It's not the real thing, but it helps us imagine it a little better, of the wonder of who He is. Who's lying there? He's the Creator. He's the eternal God. He's perfectly holy. And He came to us. The Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Wow. There He is. He came to us. He is personable. So, we have so many reasons to rejoice. So, first of all, we can rejoice in His person. Who He is. Who He is. We can rejoice in who He is. But secondly, we can rejoice in His position. In His position. And what is that? The stance He took. The stance He took. He is God eternal, the Creator of all, the Almighty. But He became a man. He has a high stance. He did not need to come to us for Himself. But He took a human stance. God became a man. You see, we are not God. No, there's only one God. And God is not limited by a body like this. But God made us in His image. But we sinned, and we deserve judgment in hell. But God came to us. Please leave your gum in your mouth, okay? God came to us, and He took on a human body. Did you know that in Bethlehem's feeding trough, in Bethlehem's manger, was lying a real human being? Now, He was God, but He became a man. A man. The Bible says He took a humble stance. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that He would have taken nothing from God to simply remain being God. But He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. And even as a man, He humbled Himself. You see, He could have been born in a king's palace. He could have been born in a beautiful place with silver and gold and jewels all over the place. But He wasn't. God not only became a man, but God came in humility. He was approachable. In fact, He called people through the angels. He called people to come. The shepherds that night, probably some rough, tough guys, some guys that had big beards and they hadn't had a bath in a few weeks. Rough, tough guys who loved the Lord, though. They believed. They believed in God. They believed that one day God would send the Messiah. One day God would fulfill His promise. They were men who had their hearts open to God. Oh, even though they were a bit scruffy, even though they slept under the stars some nights with the sheep, they had a heart to seek God. And that night when God said that there's a little baby born and He is the one that I've promised, you know what they said? Woo! This is neat! Let's go see it! And they went into that city. And they went looking for that stable. Now there were a lot of stables in Bethlehem. A lot of people had stables. Little barns in the backyard, just like we have garages for our cars and our stuff. They had stables for their donkeys, their horses, mules, sheep, probably sheep. But you know what? They had those stables. But you know, the shepherds went through the streets and the alleys of Bethlehem until they found one that had not just animals in it, but the Son of God. And they came there, and they humbled themselves in that stable, and they worshiped Him. They worshiped Him. They honored Him. They marveled. There He is, the promised Messiah. Come to us. Wow. He was approachable. God wants you to know Him. We can rejoice not only who He is, but who He became. We can rejoice in His person. We can rejoice in His position. In His position. And you know what? I want to tell you that Jesus is no longer in a stable. Jesus is not today in a stable. We celebrate His birthday. And that's what really happened. But I'll tell you what, the Bible tells us that Jesus today is exalted as he is so worthy of. He is exalted today. Jesus sits up in heaven on the right hand of his Father in a beautiful place, in an awesome, awesome throne room, in an awesome palace. Jesus really sits there today. Rejoice in his person. Rejoice in his position. And thirdly, rejoice in his promise. In his promise. We can rejoice, first of all, in what? In his person. Secondly, in his position. It was a humble position, an approachable position, and now an exalted position. He intercedes for us. When we pray, we can pray through the name of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because he came to us, and he made peace between us as a sinner and his Father who is holy. Jesus made peace. He came to us. He paid the price for our sins so that that could be taken care of, so that we could have fellowship with God. But we want to also remember that we can rejoice in his promise. This is what he offers us. What he offers us. God offers us the provision for cleansing. The provision for cleansing. We can be washed from our sin. We can be forgiven of our sin because of Jesus. Jesus came to us. Jesus gave his life for us. We can be saved. We don't have to go to hell. We don't have to face our sin and grief forever. We can be forgiven. We can be right with God. How many of us have sinned? Just a few of us? Or all of us?
Everybody in the world sinned.
Everybody. Everybody has sinned. Except for Jesus. Jesus never sinned. But Jesus, as sinless, Jesus, who had never sinned, gave his life in your place. You see, I deserved to get grief. Yeah, because of our sin. But you know what? Jesus took our grief on himself. What I deserved. What I deserved. I did the sin. I rebelled. But he took my punishment. That's what Jesus did when he died on the cross. He took our punishment. He took our sin. Wow. Rejoice in his promise. The promise of cleansing. The promise of eternal life. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He did that for us. He promises us everlasting life. Everlasting life. We must trust Jesus. We must trust Jesus for salvation. He offers it as a gift. At Christmas time, we often give gifts to celebrate. We give gifts. But you know what? Who gave the greatest gift?
Jesus.
And he gave his life for us. Right? Okay? So, we can rejoice in his promise. This is what he offers us. He offers us cleansing from sin. He offers us life eternal. And he offers us purpose. Purpose in himself. Do you know that our lives only have purpose in Jesus? You know what? A lot of people waste their lives. They waste their days. They burn up, they get used up, and they're for nothing. But you know what? When we do the will of God, when we say, yes, Lord, I'll listen to you. Yes, Lord, I'll obey you. Yes, Lord, I'll read your word, and I'm going to seek to do what you want me to do with my life. I'm going to be faithful as a child in my home. Yes, Lord, I'm going to obey my parents. Yes, Lord, I'm going to treat others with kindness like you call me to. Yes, Lord, I can do what you want me to do with your help, Lord. Only with your help. I will do what you want me to do. You know what? Your life has purpose. When you do the will of God, did you know that for those of us who know the Lord and who do his will, we have an eternity to look forward to? Eternity! Not 10 years. Not 90 years. Not even 1,000 years. No. Did you know that it's so many years it can't even be counted? Eternity. There is no number big enough to count how many years we will have. The Bible describes it this way. Eternal life. Forever. Ever with God. Forever. There's no end. You can't count it. You can't count something that just keeps going and going and going and going. That's what God has planned. Today is the day for us to serve him. We don't know how long we have. Baby James was healthy. He was full of life. We would have thought he would have, if anybody, he would have lived a long time. We would have surely thought he would have celebrated his first birthday and turned 6 5 years later. We would have thought he would have been 7 and he would have been 10 and he would have been 16 and he would have learned to drive a car and... You know what? We don't know how long we have. I don't know how long I have. Today is the day to be obedient to God. Today is the day to open our heart with tenderness to God. Say, yes, Lord. Yes. I'll listen to you. I'll yield my heart to you. You see, we have so many reasons to rejoice. We can rejoice in his person, who he is. We can rejoice in who he is. We can rejoice in who he became. His position. He humbled himself. He became a man. We can rejoice in his promise. Cleansing from sin. Life eternal. Purpose. Purpose. He gives life meaning. Are we going to live for him? A season. to rejoice. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this truth, special truth, very important truths. Help us to remember the reason we celebrate Christmas. Help us to remember all the joy that it brings. There is reason to rejoice. Oh, it doesn't matter how hard times are. There's every reason to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Thank you for what you've done for us. I pray that you'd help each one gathered here to understand this Christmas, what Christmas is about. Help us to understand that you love us and that you came to us and that you gave your life so that we could be saved from our sin. I pray that you would continue your work in each of our hearts. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.